1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We read this verse this morning, just a small little short verse, but the theme of our message today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 25. And it says, "Brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us." This morning, we began this message on praying for missions, and I pointed out that the Apostle Paul here was requesting of the Thessalonian believers prayer. And every faithful biblical missionary desires people to pray for them because they need God's help and God's power. And we saw this morning some of the things that we should be keep in mind as we pray for missionaries. We need to pray for the missionaries' personal lives. And I put the outline on the back of your bulletin there so you can follow along on that if you have your bulletin. But to pray for their personal lives, their walk with the Lord, their marriages, their children, their parenting, their cultural adjustments, their isolation, and their health. And then pray for their work and their study preparation, their correspondence and office work, their outreach ministry. And then this evening, we're going to pick up from there. And I want us to note the third thing we pray for, and that is the missionaries' people, their people. The people of their areas that are lost and need Christ, we need to pray for them. You know, of all the things we pray for, this is one of the most important things we can pray for because we're praying that God would work in the hearts of the people that they're ministering to so that they could come to Christ. Last Sunday, in the morning service, well, the whole day long, I preached a message specifically on praying for unbelievers. And it really is, it fits perfectly with praying for our missionaries as well. Not only do we pray for unbelievers in their situation around us, but also we need to pray for unbelievers on the mission field. And if you haven't listened to that message, I encourage you to take a look at it or download it or listen to it. You know, one of the things that I'd love to have you guys do, and this is what I do, I listen to sermons while I'm taking my shower. All right, so you can just put on the phone or a tablet or whatever you got, turn the thing on, and put it on full volume, and scare the cockroaches out of the cupboards, and just listen to the sermon while you're taking your shower, getting dressed, and that kind of stuff. You'll be amazed how much information you can gain from that kind of thing. But listen to the message. I think it'll be a help to you. Now, Satan is actively opposing our missionaries, and we know that. Satan is against them, and he is actively binding and blinding and deceiving and overpowering and keeping those lost people in bondage and in darkness. And, you know, some of those countries, the third world countries, many of them, it's very obvious that Satan is against them. And I know that Brother Otute has made that very clear there in Ghana, that the demonism is very active and very prominent there. And there's a lot of opposition to the Gospels through the demons there. And we need to be praying that God would help him in that ministry there. But also that is true in Papua New Guinea. There's a lot of demonism in Papua New Guinea. And those people are, all the people of Papua New Guinea are so fearful of the demons. They know they're real and they're very fearful of them. And unfortunately, many times when someone dies, they never die accidentally. Everybody dies because somebody killed them. And so they start accusing people of, "You poisoned him. You put work demonism on him, and that's why he died." Well, just because he fell out of a tree, and you know, but you made him do it. Or he got run over by a car, but you made him do it. And it's crazy, and they're very serious. They're not just joking about that. Demonism is very active and very real there. And this is what is one of the things that is holding back the gospel as Benjamin preaches it and as Chris preaches it and over there with Brother Otute is preaching. The gospel is held back by Satan's power as he's working against them. And our missionaries, missionaries' task is like the one that God gave the Apostle Paul there in Acts 26:18, when he said, "To open their eyes and to turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in Christ." Now, we need to ask God to enable our missionaries to be able to preach with power and have God's blessing on their ministry as they're preaching, and that God would bind the devil and defeat him in their outreach. Also, we need to pray specifically that God would bind the devil as they share the gospel, as they're going out sharing the gospel. And that is very critical. That, you know, in Mark chapter 3, Jesus talked about, and I talked a little bit about this last week, of how Jesus told them that before you can conquer a man's house, you need to bind the strong man in the house. And that illustration he was using in the context of demonism. And so we need to be praying to that end. We need to plead the passion of God and the promises of God and the power of God, as I preached last week. Pray those things over our missionaries and ask God to help them. Then ask the Holy Spirit to convict them. Remember the verse there in John 16? Jesus mentioned this just before he went to the cross. He was teaching his disciples, and he told his disciples there in John 16, 7 to 11, he said that they were to, that the Holy Spirit would convict them of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go unto my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. And he said that that is the work of the Holy Spirit. And we need to ask God, the Holy Spirit, to do that work in the hearts of the people that our missionaries are working with. And when the missionaries mention specifically some people, and sometimes they do mention particular names, I think that's a little bit on the risky side in our day of age when there's so much lawsuits and things of that nature to mention people's names in a public thing like that. But some missionaries are able to, maybe in third world countries they're not worried about it, type of things. But if they do mention a name or if they tell you a name, pray specifically for them. Even if they don't, you know, just pray for the man that we're witnessing to, or pray for that woman that I met on Saturday, or that kind of thing. But pray for them specifically as much as you can, that God would work in their hearts. And then ask the Lord to give our missionaries opportunities to share the gospel. You know, that is one of the things we need to be asking for ourselves. God, would you please give me opportunities to share with somebody today the gospel, and look for those opportunities, because many times they're there, but we just don't see them. And I know that one of the things that I have found, and maybe you found the same thing, that COVID has really made it a pain, because people are not nearly as open to sit and chat, and I'm not as open to find those opportunities, because you don't know who's carrying what. And so it makes it difficult. But we need to look for those opportunities and pray that our missionaries will be able to find opportunities to share the gospel. I mentioned last week a couple of verses there in Proverbs 11:30, where he says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And then also in Daniel 12:3, he talks about those that are witnessing for Christ will shine as the stars of heaven. And two great promises that God gives. But these are those that are spending opportunities or using opportunities to share the gospel with others. And so pray to that end. Then pray also that our missionaries will know how to share the gospel clearly in the native language. That can be challenging. It really can. Because if you know a language fluently, it's not so hard. But if you're still kind of, you know, picking it up, it makes it more difficult. And even like in Papua New Guinea, the pidgin language is such a small language. Now, I say that by the whole dictionary. I've got the Pidgin dictionary. It's got about 3,000 words in it. Well, when you only got about 3,000 or maybe 4,000, if they've added a few since then, if you only have 3,000 or 4,000 words and you have to say everything with those few words, that's why one little phrase may take a sentence to get that one little phrase. Especially when you're talking about doctrinal things. You start talking about justification. Well, you can't say just justification. You tell what justification is. You got to define it every time you say the word. And every time you say redemption, you got to define it every time you say the word. Even salvation. There's no word for salvation. You got to define it every time you say the word. And so you have these long sentences, and knowing how to say that and how to put it together. And the missionaries need to learn that and learn it well enough so that the people will listen and hear and be able to understand it. And so these are things that we need to be praying for. And I know that Benjamin and Chris have both been in Papua New Guinea long enough that they know Pidgin well, but it still isn't their first language, and so it is a challenge at times. I know Brother Otute over there working in his own country, he won't have that problem. He doesn't have the language barrier. But also the Harringtons are going to have a language barrier, and perhaps an even more difficult barrier than Benjamin and Chris, because they're having to learn French and be able to do it in a totally different language of that nature. So pray for our missionaries that the Lord will give them clarity of thought in the language to be able to share the gospel. And then also when the missionaries share specific prayer requests, we need to pray specifically for those requests. And so as I send off to you our prayer letters that I get from our missionaries, or if I get some little notes from the missionaries and I send them off, mark down those little prayer requests and pray for them specifically. And that can be a great blessing and a help to them. And, you know, as we do this, this is a wonderful thing. As you look in the scriptures, what did Paul say about getting involved in helping other people like this? Here's what he said in 3 John chapter 1 verse 8. He said, "We therefore ought to receive such." He's talking about receiving preachers or missionaries that come by their way and house them and things like that. "We ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." He said, when we get involved helping others that are preaching the gospel, we're fellow helpers to the truth. So whether we're praying for them, or we're supporting them financially, or we're opening up our home to them when they're visiting the area, or we're something else that is helping them, we are fellow helpers to the truth. And so that means that even though we never leave home, we can be part of the work on the mission field by getting involved in those ways. And that is a great blessing. And that's something that all of us can do and all of us can get involved in. We need to also then ask the Lord to send forth more laborers. You know, that is a great need on the mission field, is to pray for more laborers. Jesus told us that in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. He said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest." You know, that verse kind of puzzles me sometimes. I think, well, why didn't God just send them out by himself? Why has he got to have me to pray for it? And I don't know the answer to that, except that God wants me to get involved. And wants us to get involved in praying that he would send out laborers into the harvest field. And by us getting involved, we participate in all that. And, you know, as parents, we need to encourage our children and pray that our children might consider going to the mission field and serving God in a full-time way. And Christians, we ought to pray seriously about God's call for our own lives. And just ask God, what would he have us to do? You know, I remember years ago, a preacher was preaching on missions, and he said, "God has not called every Christian to the foreign mission field, but every Christian ought to struggle with the possibility." And that is true. God may not call you to the foreign mission field, but you ought to struggle with the possibility. What if God did call me? Would I be willing to go? And we too then must pray that God will save men on the mission field and challenge them to be faithful and willing to help the missionaries. Alright? So when he talks about laborers, there's laborers also on the mission field. And we can be praying that God would save souls in Benjamin's village there in Terekavi, and they would get involved in reaching out to their village. And there in Chris and Sarah's, they're ministering in WOW, that people would get saved through his ministry there, and he'd be able to train them and prepare them that they might go out to their villages and carry the gospel back. That is a wonderful way in Papua New Guinea how the gospel is being spread throughout the country. People come into town for business or visit family or whatever, and they come and they visit the Baptist church, they get saved, and it's easier for them to get saved in town than it is in the village because they don't have the village pressure on them. You know, and we saw that so prevalent in our area that people, when they're in the village, they were scared because, you know, I don't want people thinking that I'm listening to the Baptists when we're all Catholics or we're all Anglican or something else, and I'll get myself in trouble. But in town, nobody knows them, and they can go and nobody will say anything, and they can listen to the gospel. They get saved. Once they get saved, then they can say, "Hey, would you come back and preach that in my village?" And then you've got an open door. And that is how the gospel is spreading throughout Papua New Guinea. And I don't know how it is in Ghana, but perhaps it's in a similar way. I know that Brother Otute said that through his radio ministry, various people have said, "Hey, would you come to my village and share the gospel with us? We need to hear that too." And so he's got an open door like that. And that is a great thing that he's got the radio broadcast that he has, that he gets the gospel out. So there's lots of different things we can pray for in that regard. Now, number four, we need to pray for our missionaries' provision and protection. Their provision and protection. You know, missionaries have needs, financial needs. You know, when we think of missions, one of the first things that comes to our mind is the financial needs of our missions. And that's an important and a big one, because it is true. You know, it takes money to travel. It takes money to eat and to live and to buy vehicles and to buy, rent a home and to rent a place to meet and buy tracts and Bibles and all the things that are involved. It takes money. And the missionaries can't just do that without help. So that's why when we get involved and we send them money, it can be a help to them to be able to do the things that they need to do that they couldn't possibly do if, without some help. And so we can get involved in that, and that is a great way to do that, but we can pray to that end as well. And then this was true even in the first century. You know, you look back on Paul's ministry, and Paul commended the Philippian church. Let's just turn there. Look at that Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I want you to see this because it involves a verse that is often taken out of context. Philippians chapter 4, and look at verse 16. Philippians 4, verse 16. He says, therefore, even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessities. Not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound, and am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. Look at verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now you can't take verse 19 out of context. And every one of us have probably heard that taken out of context scores of times. And people just say, oh, God's going to supply all your needs through Christ Jesus. No, that's not what it says. He wrote that to people who had just given sacrificially to him. And he said, because you sacrificed to give to missions, God's going to meet your need. God's going to provide for you. That is not a blanket statement of just anybody and everybody. It belongs to those who get involved in supporting missions financially. And God has made a special blessing for them, and God's promises to meet those needs. Now, we can and we ought to pray that God will meet the financial needs of our missionaries. That is one of the things we should be praying for. As far as I know, none of our missionaries are short on support, as far as I know. There are some needs. I know that the Otutes have mentioned that they are wanting to develop the land that they have, and all that development is going to cost money for, you know, clearing. I think the land's basically clear, but they got to excavate it, and they got, you know, all the plans have got to be paid for, and, you know, all this details of building a building. And so we can pray to that end. We have helped them. We've sent them a significant amount of money to be able to help in those things. But we can pray that others will get involved and help them in that, and that God would meet that need. So we ought to be praying, and we can be doing, and we ought to be doing this, but it's difficult to pray, if not impossible to pray, if you aren't willing to give. You need to stop and think about that. How can we come before God and say, God, please, please, God, provide for the missionary, but don't ask me because I'm not going to give. I mean, you can't do that. And so we really need to be willing to get involved ourselves. And so I believe that God expects Christians to support their local church. And I think that's our first obligation with our giving. And personally, I believe that God still uses tithing. You know, I know there's a lot of people today that say, no, tithing's Old Testament. It's not in the New Testament. Well, that may be, but God didn't give us anything to change it with. And he didn't tell us what else to do. And he didn't say have bingo on Saturdays and raise funds or sell cakes. It's obvious that God wants us to give. And I personally believe that God still wants us to tithe. And then grace giving for missions ought to be above the tithe to support missions. And that's what we're promoting here. Something that will step out on faith and say, God, I'm going to trust you beyond my tithe to give something to missions. And that's what this little form here is about, to just, you know, what can you give beyond your tithe to missions to support the work of God around the world? And I challenge you to get involved, and I believe God will meet your needs and bless you and provide for you. Just like he said there in Philippians, he says that my God shall supply all your needs. You get involved in giving, God's going to supply your needs and provide for you. And I wholeheartedly have experienced that, and I believe that to be true. And even Jesus mentioned something similar in another a context in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38 when he says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So he says God's going to use the same scoop that you use. You use a teeny tiny scoop to give to God, then God's going to use a teeny tiny scoop to give to you. He says you use a big scoop to give to God, he'll use a big scoop to give to you. And I believe that's a principle that we need to believe God and trust him for. Now, Also, not only do we pray for their financial needs, but also, here's one that you might not think of. We need to pray for our missionaries' friendship needs. Their friendship needs. I alluded to this a little bit another time, but friendship is very, very important. And when you're on the mission field and isolated from most of the people of your own family, friends, and acquaintances, friendships are hard to come by many times. And we think back in the Old Testament of David. David had a fantastic friendship with Jonathan. And that was a wonderful friendship. And in fact, he describes it in 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now, you think about that, and I could preach a whole message on that. Probably I should one of these days. But Jonathan was next in line to be the king. He was the king's son. And Jonathan was treating David as royalty, and David was just a servant. And by becoming the friend like he was, and Jonathan even took off his robe and gave David all his robe and all of his weapons, I mean, he was giving him royal stuff to be used by David because he loved him. They were close friends. And that was a bond that strengthened David through those years when Saul was haunting and hunting and trying to kill him. And that kept David going and encouraged him by having a friend that was true and faithful. And you know, that is so important for our missionaries. When they're opposed by the devil and opposed by the people around them that don't like them, they need a friend that will stand with them and encourage them and help them. Someone that they can lean on and confide in and to seek counsel in. That is a great treasure. And we should pray that God would raise up some good friends for our missionaries. I know that from experience. It is so important. They need someone to turn to that they can rest in and be a great friend to. And Solomon said in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times and a brother born for adversity. And our missionaries need that kind of a friend. And so God can raise one up, but we need to pray. Then next we need to pray that our missionaries' spiritual needs. Their spiritual needs. And I know we pray for their personal needs, but this is a little bit different from that. Pray that our missionaries will experience God's peace during their burdens. These are spiritual needs. And they're going to face burdens. There's going to be difficulties and frustrations and hardships. And our missionaries are no exception to Paul and his ministries. Paul wrote in Acts, or it was written of Paul in Acts 14:2, says, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. So there were people stirring them up, making them against him, turning them against the missionaries. And Paul faced all kinds of persecution. You know the stories of Paul's life. He was stoned, left for dead. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He went through all kinds of problems. Much of it was because of the spiritual opposition that he was facing. And the devil opposes our missionaries. People will criticize them. Their work may be slow, and that's discouraging. They may face sickness and disease that will hinder them. They may at times be short of finances, or the government may hinder their work. And discouragement may torment them, and angry people may oppose them. You know, that's not easy. When somebody gets after you, you know, comes right up to you and is steaming angry with you. And I mean, I remember a time, and it was probably my own foolish, youthful fault. I had not done something I should have done probably, but I got somebody really mad at me. I'm mad enough that he threatened to kill me. And I'm thinking, it wasn't a wise thing that I did, I guess. I didn't think it was that bad, but obviously he took it that way. And, you know, but missionaries face those kind of things. And so we need to pray for our missionaries, pray for their protection, that God will protect them from these things. And when you read their prayer letters, you know, just put yourself in their shoes and say, how would I feel if these things were happening to me? What would it be like if I was enduring those kind of oppositions or those kind of problems or if I had these burdens? And that will help us to pray for them and pray that they will trust God and that God will strengthen them and encourage them. pray over them, Psalm 56:3, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. You know, use that in your prayers as you pray for the missionaries. And then we must also pray that they will obey God and cast their burdens on the Lord. You know, we can't think, it's not right for us to think anyway, that somehow our missionaries, you know, when they face burdens, they're always going to do the right thing. They're going to give it to God and they're going to be heroes and it's going to be great. They're humans like us. They struggle like we do. And they struggle to cast their burden on the Lord just like we do. And we need to pray God helps them to cast their burden on you. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so we need to be praying for them that they will cast their burden on the Lord and that they will give their burdens to Him. And so, you know, one of the greatest things you can do, one of the greatest tools you can use in praying for missionaries is to just put yourself in their situation. That'll help you every time. Think about what they said. All right, I've got this problem. I got this thing happen. This man's mad at us. Or I've got to go do this. I've got to face some of the situations. You know, there was times when Chris Dagan was having to go out to try to settle some of those tribal fights. And I mean, the people are shooting arrows all over the place, and you're just hoping that they don't aim one at you. And, you know, pray for them. How would you feel in that situation? I mean, I'd kind of go in fear and trembling, wear my armor, you know. But they have to pray. We have to pray for them that God would protect them and help them. Now, one last thing. The Apostle Paul specifically asked believers to pray for his protection from opposition. He said in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 2, he said, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Pray that God would deliver us from unreasonable and wicked men, because all men have not faith. They're going to turn against us. He also mentioned in Romans 15, verses 30 and 31, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that I may my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints." So he said, pray that God would deliver me. He says, I know there's people back in Judea that do not like me. They're not going to accept me. They reject me. They hate me. And they're going to try to kill me. But pray that God would protect me. We know the situation. If you remember the story, as Paul did go back and he got captured and they tried to kill him. And God met his needs and protected him. He ended up spending 2 years in prison there in Caesarea. And then he appealed to Caesar and he was sent over to Rome and almost went down in the shipwreck. But God protected them there and spared their lives. And he ended up in Rome, spent another 2 years in prison there before God released him from the prison. So Paul went through some of these oppositions. And so he says, pray for the opposition. You know, our missionaries will face opposition, no question about it. They will. And they may face even life-threatening opposition. And we need to be praying for them. We need to be holding the ropes. I don't know if you remember when Brother Harrington preached to us. He preached on about holding the ropes. You know, hanging on the rope to hold them and support them and strengthen them. And we need to be doing that. We need to be holding on and protecting and helping them through our prayers. And so, if we would pray for our missionaries like we would want them praying for us, if it was the other way around, it would make a big difference in our lives. And so, it's going to take some work. As I mentioned this morning, as I started praying more specifically for our missionaries, instead of being, you know, a 5-minute task, it's more of a 15 or 20 minute task to pray for them, to pray more specifically for them. But we need to do that. Maybe not every single day, but we need to regularly be praying for our missionaries very specifically, carrying their burdens to the Lord and asking the Lord to help them. And so, as we pray for our missionaries, pray for their personal needs, their family and all that, and then pray for their work and that they're doing, reaching out with the gospel, pray for the people that they're trying to minister to, that God would open their hearts, turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that the devil would be defeated. Pray also for their provision and their protection, that God would provide for them the needs, both financial and emotional, and all of the needs they have, and then also that God would protect them from the dangers that are all about them. All right? And if we will pray specifically for our missionaries, it will be a great help We should not just pray, God bless the missionaries. That's too vague. It's too general. It's much more powerful and much more potent to pray specific burdens for our missionaries. And so, when I send you the missionary prayer letters, don't just quick glance at them and delete them. Take a look at them. Write down the prayer requests. And then take them to the Lord. And use them as your daily prayer requests, that God would work in the hearts and meet the needs and provide. And it'll be a blessing. Then we'll be able to be fellow helpers to the truth there and be involved in their ministry. And we can be a blessing to them. As Paul said, brethren, pray for us. And let's just let that request press on our hearts tonight. Brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us.